Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, and we're working with a real paradigm today. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and my paradigm shifting guest today is Dr. Cass Ingram, who's a doctor of osteopathy and also has, you have a degree in nutrition, and he's
yes.
being an amazing sleuth. He's going to help us figure out how to count on various supplements and the kind of assays or the kind of supposed proof they give us by giving us the itemized ingredients on bottles and so on. We have so much to talk about. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ingram.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to be with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really, really well, and I'm so excited to talk to you because this subject of health support is a really huge one these days, isn't it?
Yes.
What brought you out on it? Yeah.
Now I've been in the business for about 35 years as an osteopathic physician and a nutritional physician. And all I want to do is when I see someone or I deal with someone is to find some kind of natural approach, whether diet, even exercise, surely herbal medicine, whatever I could find that is non-toxic to help them and to get the body in the healing mode. So I do have an attuned sense on quality. I have to have things that are effective in terms of dietary supplements.
Are you saying when you use a natural kind of like an herb or a supplement and so on, it can actually trigger our healing mechanism to get going?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's how the great creator has made these mysterious things. And, of course, you know the Aboriginal people on their own, without any science, just by experience and trial and error, found things that now the pharmaceutical houses are trying to patent and discover. You see that. So there is something to this herbal thing or the plant medicine thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the attorney general. And so people are a bit, oh, yeah, maybe that isn't regulated enough. One lady on the airplane, right, said to me when she heard what my business is, she said, oh, yeah, that industry is not well regulated. There needs to be something done.
Oh, yeah, right.
So you have to take a broad perspective of this to try to understand what that means.
How did you get into this? What triggered your awareness of this or awakening to it, or did you grow up with it?
Well, my mother took me into the woods, and we picked wild grape leaves, and she showed me that the little tendrils that come out are nutritious, and then we found some wild fruit trees, and then she would occasionally get excited about wild grapes, and we'd pick them, not for wine, but, you know, just as a food.
Mm-hmm.
They're very sour, but she, from the old country, knew all this. So when I got into medicine, it always kind of rotated in my head. Maybe there's more in the nature than in the pharmaceutical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even cures, but certainly far safer. And then when I had a patient that nearly died on me from a relatively minor drug, a prominent airline attendant, you know, stewardess, I said, you know, I'm just not interested in seeing people get worse under my care or die or have liver failure. That not only, you know, frightens me, but what damage you're doing to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled away from medications, and I, over the years, just have used osteopathic treatments, acupressure, reflexology, but more importantly, our subject today, a lot of nutrition, nutritional supplements, superfoods, diet. That's what I do.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you because this is such a huge subject these days. Why do you think that the regulations, I think most of us are kind of suspicious about them. Why do you think that, for example, Walgreens sells a vitamin B that when I take it and I'm really, really sensitive to supplements, I don't get much effect at all?
Yeah, it is a bit suspect, some of the big box type situations because, you know, low price. So I'm not going to apologize for their quality. But we should really start with what the AG did.
Mm-hmm.
And see how legitimate it is because, you know, if they were really interested there in New York about quality and safety, they picked kind of the least significant thing, which is a botanical in an alcohol extract or a ground-up capsule. They didn't look at genetically engineered food. If they were going to spend that kind of taxpayer money, here's what they should have done, in my opinion. take 6 genetically engineered foods, 6 over-the-counter drugs, 6 multiple vitamins, 6 botanicals, 6 of several things, 6 jugs of olive oil, you know, and check for contaminants. Check to see if the label claim is correct, because that's kind of fraud, isn't it, to sell somebody that's extra virgin olive oil or ground up echinacea and there's nothing in it, right?
Right.
And they didn't do that. It was a little bit of an attack on botanicals.
But wait a minute, there's another thing here, which is that if they put natural, everybody buys into that, and that doesn't mean what it says. There's a whole bunch of words that are kind of lobby words that aren't what they mean, right?
Yeah, you saw that 7-Up and Coca-Cola and some of those got into trouble because they were using this all-natural thing to confuse the consumer. Yeah, now all-natural doesn't mean anything because you can say natural hydrolyzed protein and it can have MSG in it.
Wow. Isn't this
so you've got to be persnickety and have a high acuity for what you're doing in your purchases. But when you get to the Attorney General in New York and the botanical analyses, remember, we're not going to excuse any kind of quality defects, but we have to look at what they did. They used DNA testing on alcohol extracts, for example. They shouldn't have done that. When you use DNA testing for an alcohol extract or a hexane extract, which I'm not a fan of either one, to be honest with you, but that's been done for years in botanicals, even all the way back to the ancients, all the way back to the 1500s and earlier.
Is that because it stabilizes it, or?
Yeah, because they used that in the medieval times, right? Because there's no way it's going to go bacterial.
Right, okay.
And it does stabilize some of the active ingredients, and it acts to extract the fat-soluble components.
So you're talking about tinctures, right?
Tinctures.
Yes.
So they looked at the tinctures with a DNA test. Guess what? When you melt the herb in alcohol, you will not pick up any DNA. So some of what the AG did is fraudulent.
Oh, wow.
So we don't know for sure, and they've been called on it by the manufacturers and even by GNC and some of these people, not apologizing for big box quality because I'm going to get into quality, but they have not been able to come forth with hard proof that there really were 30 botanicals which had nothing in them but rice powder and wild carrot. Now, here's the other thing when you do, just one more note on this because there's more important stuff to Fry than his little, you know, political ploy there. He was doing a DNA test, and he said there was houseplants in there. Now, does anybody really think that somebody's going to spend the money to grind up a bunch of houseplants, which are regularly, you know, relatively expensive, when they could buy the raw material for less? So if the pollen from the houseplant blew as the wind flows into the clean room at the manufacturing facility, it's going to pick that up, the DNA test, just like it would pick up your fingerprint. It was the wrong test to use. They should have checked for active ingredients. If that tincture of ginseng stated that it had ginsenosides or ginseng in there, they could have done a gas chromatography, they could have done other testing, and they could have said, you know, they're telling us a phony. There's only, you know, a fraction of the ginseng active ingredient. They could have done that.
I don't understand how they can get away with that. Like, you know, if the supplement, if somebody dies on a bad batch of supplements, and I know that happens way less than people die on aspirin, but
yeah.
Boy, all hell breaks loose, excuse my language, but it's just so frustrating. So how does a person trust it? Or I don't want to take you off.
You can't trust anything when it comes to our, you know, capitalistic market world. You can't trust one person's word anymore.
Well, you know,
I'm
going to talk about me just for 1 minute. I learned about health foods by carrying a huge bag of supplements, by reading morning, noon, and night, and every little tick in my body, I'd take what I thought was the right thing and test in my own body to see how it worked. That's how I learned.
That's the better way to do it.
But they don't admit that.
And if you, you know, it's more accurate, let me say that, than taking some marketing pitch or something that's on a brochure as gospel.
Right.
But you're right about this, that what's the big focus on so that people on the airplane come up to me and say, hey, your industry, which is not my industry, but what I do, is poorly regulated. When no one complained to the Attorney General and said, hey, my mom got sick from this botanical. Could you investigate it? That didn't happen.
Right.
Simultaneously, how many people got sick from aspartame that week and the Attorney General didn't say anything? Well, how many people got sick with anaphylactic shock, or their throat got caught closed off, or their tongue got swollen, or their stomach felt like it was on fire, or their
intestines? Which I think is from GMO, for example, peanuts. I think it's from GMO stuff.
GMO on the button.
Right on.
You know, I was just at a medical conference, and an allergist associate said, we've seen, you know, he's Indian, we've seen about fivefold increase in the incidence of anaphylactic shock in the last 20 years. I said, map it out for me, doctor. What happened about 20, 25 years ago? He said, GMOs. Do you think the GMOs are why it's 500% higher that you see all of this anaphylaxis? Because he's an allergist. He said, I believe it's the GMOs.
But they don't test that, Dr. Ingram?
How can they test it? It's the millions of billions of dollars to test everything for GMOs. Gazillions. So the only thing you can do is evaluate the patient if they survive the anaphylactic shock and assess what they ate for the 72 hours before their throat closed off. Maybe some of your listeners are thinking, oh, I had something like that. My throat got scratchy. I thought I was going to choke to death. My tongue got swollen.
Right.
My guts were on fire. And, you know, it's risky.
But, you know, there's another thing that occurs to me that, you know, you can't regulate the human variable, can you?
That's so important.
I know.
You know, one person could eat GMO corn chips and eat them with impunity and not notice really anything that's grossly obvious. Somebody else goes into shock. Or their intestines feel like pins and needles. This is one of the most common symptoms of GMO contamination from corn.
Really?
It's this pinprick sensation in the abdomen.
Huh.
You know why that is, by the way.
No, tell me that.
The reason is the GMO corn is coding for a pesticide. That pesticide, BT toxin, causes the intestines of the corn borer to explode so that it dies when it eats when the corn borer bites on the corn. And once it gets into the gut, it blows the gut up. Well, that's happening on a micro scale to humans and to cattle.
Oh, my God.
In fact, some cattle that were at the slaughterhouse were found to have, pinprick holes in their gut wall, which is impossible. Cows don't get holes in their gut wall.
Is that what causes leaky gut syndrome?
Well, it does to a degree. There are other things like Giardia and Candida. But now the epidemic of leaky gut can be traced to the GMOs. But it is a tricky business. Like you say, the individuality. I, for example, am grossly allergic to celery. A friend of mine I was busy seeing consultation after consultation at his clinic for him.
Mm-hmm.
He juiced me some fresh juice. He said, Doc, you need this for strength. Well, all he had in his refrigerator, I didn't know that, was celery. So he had given me a celery challenge. I started sipping on the celery juice. I said, I can't breathe. I can't. I mean, get me oregano oil.
Wow.
You know, I knew of a cure. This is what I want to share. I asked him for the wild oil of oregano. You know, the P73 that's so famous now.
Okay.
He got me this stuff. I squirted it under the tongue, and it shut down the anaphylactic shock and saved me.
Wow. Is that ever good to know?
Yeah.
But why the celery? Is that GMO'd?
No, it's there's a substance in commercial celery when it's grown commercially that it's a furocumarin. It's a can be a toxin. It's less than organic celery, but it's still there.
Hmm.
And that toxin can cause an allergic reaction.
Oh, my.
Well, now, getting back to the GMOs, I've had this happen twice. The time before was my daughter insisted, no, Dad, those corn chips are okay. I said, I don't eat GMOs. I don't ever eat them. No, they're okay. It says organic on the label. Oh, I'll have some. I started eating them. And the same thing happened. I don't get throat closure very often. I mean, the throat closed off, the tongue swelled up, I couldn't breathe. Because I know a lot about herbal medicine, again, I knew it would work, and it's the oil of wild oregano, so I I squirted it on my tongue, I held it there under the tongue, and I cured this anaphylaxis.
So wait a minute, was that a tincture? Was it in the alcohol base?
No.
Okay.
No, this is in an olive oil base.
Okay, that's good to know. I have some to put it in my cupboard, right?
You need to have it in your cupboard. You need to take it with you. That's why I was saying there is greatness in the herbal medicine if it's properly made and it's really good quality and its label claim is correct. It saved my life on those two occasions.
Wonderful.
I had another occasion. Let's focus on this oregano because it's very interesting a little bit. There was a guy who got stung. We were in the mountains looking at different kinds of wild honey to bring back to the United States. And we were with the bees, right? And
he was
nervous.
And which country were you in? Which country?
This was in the mountains of Lebanon.
Okay.
In Lebanon, there in the anti-Lebanon mountains. Because, you see, the Mediterranean is a very good source of natural medicines. A lot of us focus on, Peru, the rainforest. Well, that's tough. I don't, particularly like to rob the rainforest that much.
Right.
So we go some places where you can reproduce this, and you can pick it and it comes back and that type of thing. So I was involved with this journey on wild oregano, wild sage, wild rosemary, which we think of our spices, but the Romans and the Greeks used them as medicines. So they had wild oregano honey, and they had the bees there, and the bees attacked this guy and stung him a couple times in the ear and I think in the neck. And he drops on the ground and he starts shaking. Well, you're in the mountains. An hour and a half for the ambulance, right?
Right.
So I took out, I have four or five things I take with me when I travel, and I took out this oil of wild oregano. In the marketplace, it's known as P73 oregano. Anyway, I took this out and I saturated the insect bite, the spider venom, the bee venom. He popped up 10 minutes later and he was fine. We didn't need to do any emergency.
Wow.
I put some under his tongue as well.
Is that ever good to know? Is that ever wonderful to know? Huh?
See, so there is fantastic things and news for us from the wonderful herbs and spices.
Do the herbs that counter the poison or the difficulty, usually they occur right in the same vicinity?
They do. Hey, I was filming a potential TV show that I hope to launch someday. And we cut a lot of film, and they had one of those fuzzy things, that goes around the microphone to stop the wind.
Right.
You know that.
Yep, yep.
And the hornets saw the fuzzy thing. This was in the deep woods, and they gathered around the fuzzy thing.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know what they thought they were doing with it. They thought it was a flower. And because somebody stepped on it, close to the nest, and they went a great. So the cameraman says, I got to have my camera. Doc, what do we do? I said, well, let's make a plan. You rush the camera. My producer will do blockade. And I'll take this stick and try to sweep the hornets off. We did it, and we all got stung.
What'd you do?
Yeah, we got the camera back, but not too bad. So what did I do? I looked for something close by, and I saw the red raspberries. Yes, I saw the red raspberries, and they have the ellagic acid, which is an antidote. It's an antitoxin. So I crushed a bunch of them, and I plastered them on everybody's sting, and it reduced the pain and agony and venom by 90%.
Wow. In a very
everybody
quick
was,
time? Fast
huh?
time? In quick time?
In quick time.
Wow.
Not completely. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything else. We were in the woods. I didn't have anything else with me. I didn't have any tinctures or extracts. So it's a brilliant system. But what I found is, in contrast to maybe some of the big box quality and some of these other issues, alcohol extracts and so on, I found that if you keep the natural in as native of a state possible, okay, you think there's something good in the leaf, grind it up and put in a capsule. Emulsify it maybe in olive oil, vinegar, something natural, and the power is retained.
Hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really remarkable, isn't it?
So
are you an herbalist as well as...
Well, I'm an herbalist and I'm a wild medicine guru.
Oh, you're a wild
I hunt.
we can tell. Huh?
Yeah. Hunting in the woods and in the different places. And in that process, I've had my challenges, not just hornet bites, but ticks and Lyme disease 2 or 3 times.
What do you recommend with Lyme disease then? That's a
well, I'm just now finishing the book, The Lyme Natural Cures for Lyme Disease, you see.
Okay.
The reason is I got it so bad, I had to figure out something how to get rid of it.
Did it take you a long time? I know people that have had it for 15 years, you know.
Year and a half.
Wow.
I had such a bad case.
Huh.
That's why I'm on the media now. I was off for a year and a half.
Wow.
I had a tick. I was picking these wild berries. Nobody else would do it to make an extract that's anti-tumor.
Okay.
And it's the wild blackberry. How can you make it wrong with a blackberry, right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. There are some things in nature that we should be taking advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
So we made the extract. We picked it and sent it to the guy. He's making the extract. The last day, it's almost over. There's almost none left. I'm crazy. Okay, I want to get the last bits. So on my own, without my team, I went into the woods. I didn't take my white suit. I didn't take my natural herbal spray that I use. And I didn't pull my socks over. I was too cavalier. I didn't pull my socks over my pants. What happens? A week later, I don't know, my head's going to explode. Oh, what's my head doing? I can't, what is it? I feel like there's somebody's blowing it up with with an air hose. And my spine is full, and I'm uncomfortable. I can't sleep. I'm burning up. What? And I finally felt something on my back, burning. I turned around in the mirror, and I had a bullseye rash the size of a football.
Wow.
You know, bullseye rash is 1,000% from Lyme.
Hmm.
So I didn't know what to do. I started taking Old Faithful, the natural antiseptics I talk about in my books. I started taking the oil of oregano as a germicide, the super strength, the oregaresp, it's called, oregano juice, my old mainstays that I used for tick bites up in the north, not Lyme tick bites, but other ticks.
Hmm.
And it wasn't working.
Hmm.
And some people said, go to the, antibiotics. I said, I'm herbalist. I'm going to take my risks, and I'm going to see if I can't get this thing knocked out. So I kept pounding away, and I neutralized it from getting worse.
Good.
Should I have gotten antibiotics? Let me tell you about antibiotics. At the stage I was at, 75% of the people, the Lyme continues to infect them, even if they take the antibiotics.
Oh, wow. It's a trigger that goes on and on.
It goes on and on. It mutates and goes, 1 in 4 chance I'm not going to take. I'm going to stick with the natural cures. Finally, I took massive amounts. This oil of oregano comes in a 1-ounce bottle. And listen, if you're listening to me, I only recommend that you take the edible kind from the mountains like I do. If you're going to take this kind of dose, make sure you listen.
Okay.
I took the whole bottle, 850 drops. I poured it in a glass of water. Most people take 2 drops a day. I'm taking 850 drops. And I drank it. And I basically took another one. So I'm taking 2 1-ounce bottles 3 or 4 days in a row, and I broke the back of the Lyme.
Wow. It's oil of oregano.
Oil of wild oregano, P73, is the stuff that I used.
Okay.
P73 from the mountains of the far Mediterranean, Turkey, Greece.
Is it hard to find? Is it something, we get it through your site, I suppose, eh?
Well, I don't know through my site. You can find out about the knowledge about it, but you'd go to, say, iHerb or My Natural Market or, health food stores.
Okay.
Almost every health food store has that.
Okay.
But you have to be careful when you go into the health food store because there's a lot of knockoffs that are not for daily consumption at all.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so I used this, and I relapsed 4 or 5 times anyway, you see. And when I relapsed, I had my elbows swelled up like Popeye's elbows.
Hmm.
And then my knee my knee blew up like a balloon, and I was in a wheelchair for a month and a half.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, I just did a seminar. I was on my feet all day for 4 days talking to hundreds of people. How do you go from Lyme to being able to function? Nobody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just used natural cures. You know, and
so your natural cures include the wild oregano, specifically P, whatever it was. I have to write
P-73.
That.
P-73.
P-73.
Yeah, okay.
And then what else did you use?
I used the multiple spice desiccated wild oregano, sage, cumin, and cinnamon in a capsule.
Oh, wow.
What they do with that is they take these essential oils from those spices. These are all germicides. Some people listening may never know that spices kill germs. That's why they were so fought over in the medieval, or the, you know, the spice wars and spice trade. They're preservatives, but they are also germicidal. They prevent pathogens from growing in the food. Mm. That's why they added clove and cinnamon to the food on the ships, so they wouldn't rot. But what I did was, what they do is they take the essential oils of these spices and they dry them to a dust, then they encapsulate them. It's very powerful. So I took, there's 90 capsules in a bottle. I took 45 capsules to 60 capsules a day.
Wow. Of all four herbs mixed together.
Of those four herbs, I took also, there's these little oregano oil gel caps, this oregano, this P73, in the gel cap, 60 capsules in a bottle.
Okay.
What do? I pour all 60 capsules in my palm and I guzzle them.
Oops.
What's the big deal? You know, we sit down and eat a 24-ounce porterhouse or something. I'm just hitting it hard because I can't stand the pain and agony and the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most... This Lyme disease is the most agonizing, miserable thing you could ever go through.
Hmm. So what happened then? Did you get better quickly or did you have to take time?
It took me a year and a half because of these relapses. But see, by that big dosing, I got myself out of the danger zone.
Okay.
See, I had neuroborreliosis, 50% fatal at that point.
Wow, really?
It was in my brain and spinal cord.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know I had the tick on there. I didn't have any idea. It was gone by the time I found. And so I was suffering beyond comprehension, and that's why I say I broke it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, and the Lyme sufferer will know this, I still had batches of trouble with it. And then, you know, I just kept cranking on the same medicines. I added in wild turmeric, something called Turmeril. I added in a few other things. And I got rid of it. 99% gone.
Wow.
You know,
and it's not recurring, but it recurred. It kind of went in stages, eh?
It did recur and was back and forth. And, you know, I'm busy, so I don't always stay on. I didn't stay on the protocol. But what I found was that when I finally started realizing it's just not going to go away totally, I went on I went on the protocol consistently for 30 more days, just not that high a dose, but just consistent.
As a preventive?
Huh?
As a preventive?
So as to wipe out the last traces.
Yeah, okay.
So it wouldn't relapse again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how would anybody want their elbow to swell up like a balloon? It's so hideous.
Really?
And your knee to be so swollen. I mean, when that thing swelled up like that, it wasn't just the swelling, the pain. It was, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't function. I had to have two of my friends, I was in Europe at the time, haul me around. I would put my arm around each of them just to get to the toilet.
Wow, I'm sorry.
And you couldn't hardly get on into the wheelchair or get out. I have photographs of it all. Mm. I'll publish it that way on the blog, but for now, I just sent the book to the press.
Good.
I'm
glad you did it, because I know a number of people, clients that I have, that have Lyme's disease, and it's been taking a long time. I told you, 15 years maybe.
Well, this is the problem. I would have had the same thing. And I can... Every little bit of pain and agony they suffer.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. You also mentioned turmeric, and I have found turmeric to be a real godsend. And when I started looking it up, I learned a little bit about how the antibacterial qualities of, for example, cloves and so on are really amazing. What about garlic?
Garlic wasn't so effective for me.
It wasn't.
I found that these really aggressive spices are the answer for Lyme. And of course, the cinnamon, the oregano, the sage, the cumin, those are all germicides.
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon's good for diabetes. We all know that as well. But
mm-hmm.
whereas turmeric isn't so much of a germicide, but it's a wonderful anti-inflammatory and anti- and neurological for neurological inflammation, like in the nerve sheath. You
wow.
cannot find better than turmeric.
Oh, isn't that great?
So I used a wild turmeric, the trade name called Turmerol,
mm-hmm.
Which I found to be more potent than the commercial type.
Hmm.
And I started lugging that under the tongue as drops and also by the capsules, and it made a decided impact on the Lyme. And I'll tell you one other thing I used. What I used was an enzyme, bromelain and papain.
Okay.
You know
so
about that.
Yeah, that's a pretty basic available enzyme, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So I used that combination to root out some of the inflammation in the deep joints.
Hmm.
But what I found out is that the Lyme spirochete is a slow-growing pathogen that mutates into a number of forms and hides in the nerve sheaths, in the brain and the spinal cord, intracellularly. And that's why, in some cases, the antibiotics, IV and orally, in some cases, they do put people into remission because you're putting a high dose of an aggressive drug, but then the people get candida. You know?
But if you have it in the brain and in the nerves, that's where you use Turmerol, right?
Well, or the joints.
And you have to do that quickly, I guess. You can't wait for a year or 2 years, 3 years.
Well, two things. The quicker, the better. But if it's year, 2 years, you still hit it.
Mm-hmm.
You still hit it because turmeric is highly anti-inflammatory for chronic arthritis or chronic neurological. I had a woman who had sciatica for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worked. She got a hold of not the commercial turmeric, but the wild material, which is hand-harvested by the Indian villagers. It's available as sublingual drops and capsules. She picked the sublingual drops. It has some ginger in it as well. She squirts it under the tongue. Sciatica, misery, Pain in the hamstring, in between the hamstrings and the buttocks.
Hmm.
She gets rid of it. She gets
wow.
rid of it, and she's telling the whole world about the sublingual turmeric.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? Well, you know what? Before we use up all our time, I want us to get into supplements like vitamins and so on. You have quite a bit to say about that, don't you? About how
I do.
Yeah.
I cover that in the blog to a degree where I'm looking at chemical vitamins, chemical supplements, substances that are made from in vats and in massive quantities by the petrochemical pharmaceutical complex.
Right.
I'm raising the question, can you get well from coal tar or from petrol? Or are you going to get worse?
Probably get worse. Or you probably
remember
confuse
you said
your
that you,
system, huh?
You will confuse the system. That's the key. Very smart. When you take a imitation vitamin made from coal tar or petrol, which is what you're taking, people, the body tries to see if it can do something with it, and it plugs up the receptor sites.
Uh-huh.
I have found consistently that the people who have the most gross vitamin deficiencies are those who take a B50, B100, or a multiple vitamin, because they're plugging up their system.
Really?
That's right. And also, I have treated and diagnosed some cases of coal tar poisoning from multiple vitamin users.
Hmm.
Because the base material for most of the vitamins in such a thing is coal tar and hexane. And there's no
but
way you can take...
But it doesn't say that on the labels.
If it said it on the label, nobody would buy it. And so instead of chasing the botanicals, this is what we should be chasing, really, because those are carcinogens. So I'm now switching everybody. When I was early in practice, we didn't know what else to do. We used a lot of IV vitamin therapy, and in some of my early books, I mentioned taking 500 milligrams of B-complex 50 if you had this and that and the other. I don't do that anymore. I don't take them. I'm not going to tell you to take them. And then the second issue you raise is the genetically engineering.
Yeah, really.
That how do you know you don't take GMOs in your supplements?
I guess we don't know.
You don't.
But here's the thing is I have found in my own personal body research that B vitamins help me a lot. And I'm pretty particular about buying the ones that I muscle test that work, you know. I don't buy them in small quantities or, you know.
Here's the situation with B vitamins. They can rev up the system, but they are not going to heal tissue unless they're totally natural.
Okay.
I'm interested in discovering B-complex deficiency and also enlarged facial pores, for instance, cracks at the corners of the mouth, chapping of the lips, a scalloping of the tongue, fissures of the tongue. I'm looking for oily skin, dry hair, brittle hair. I'm looking depression, anxiety, irritability. I'm looking for signs and symptoms of B-complex deficiency,
mm-hmm.
scuffy hair. And so they're not being corrected by the pressed pills or the capsules. So then I give them whole food powders.
Okay.
If I didn't have anything else, I'd give them non-GMO brewer's yeast or rice bran. But fortunately, we have Purely B, which is a powder with rice bran, rice germ, Purely yeast, and royal jelly. It's whole food B complex. So when I see they're deficient, I tell them to take 3 tablespoons a day, and it corrects these gross anomalies. Injection in the eyes, red streaks in the eyes, that's B2 deficiency. People do say, no, I'm taking my Bs, I notice it, but that's more of a chemical effect, really.
Hmm.
Now, here's the other issue. Some B vitamins are made by microbial synthesis, and those are, you will see some benefit from because they are naturally produced in the bacteria.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't know which ones are those, do we?
We don't normally, unless I was to analyze the product. But generally, you're talking B12 and you're talking B2 for microbially produced. The problem we face, again, people, is do you know what you're doing? B12 is derived from sewage sludge.
Ah! Well, I have another question, too, because people are so excited about B12, and my learning was you don't take a separate B unless you've got the whole base in your body, or else it's
your learning is correct. I no longer recommend single individuals. I don't do it. We used to do it as a pharmaceutical effect. Niacin, which I quickly quit using because of hepatitis risk. B5, we used to give a lot of B5 to try to pump the adrenals up. I don't do that anymore. So I just, what I do is I say, okay, you're deficient. You need more egg yolks. You need to eat organic liver. I want you to eat some grass-fed beef. Put rice bran on your cereal. Get the Purely B, which is the best way to do it. This is what I do to people now.
Okay.
You know,
and you had to learn that from us all and cause and effect. Eh?
I did. And now we've got the issue with the GMOs where you, case history, I was talking to a woman in Canada. She said, I don't understand it, doctor. You know me. I've been taking supplements. I'm the supplement queen, but I have nothing but pins and needles in my belly. And I'm miserable. I said, I think I know what it is. It's the supplements. What? Let me see them. She brought them in the bag. She was taking about 4,000 milligrams of ascorbic acid.
Okay.
What's ascorbic acid made from? Corn. What kind of corn?
Oh, my gosh.
GMO corn.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a solvent reaction system where they take the corn starch and the corn syrup and turn it into vitamin C. We took her off the vitamin C synthetic. We put her on vitamin C, but from Camu, we put her on the Purely C, the best one around, and it eliminated the symptom.
And you can be sure that your Purely C and Purely B aren't GMO'd?
Non-GMO, because the ingredients, you can tell yourself. You don't have to even listen to somebody like me. You look at the ingredients of like Purely C, and Synergy makes, there's 2 or 3 companies that make this kind of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Synergy makes, North American Urban Spice makes, they make Purely C. There's a couple others. But you look at the label, and it says wild Camu, rose hips, and acerola. That's it. It doesn't say ascorbic acid.
So things have changed, would you say? I mean, what we used to learn 30 years ago has changed radically, right? Because
you want to know how radical?
Yes.
30 years ago, there were no studies that showed that vitamin E intake increased the fatality rate from heart disease 30 years ago. Now, the studies are showing that those who take 800 IUs of E die sooner than those who never touch it.
Oh.
You want to talk about radical? Vitamin C, right? 2,000 milligrams a day, reasonable dose. Studies 30 years ago never showed an increase in fatality of any kind. Studies now show an increase in stillbirths in pregnant women who take 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C daily. Why? Because those vitamins are genetically engineered.
Jeepers Louise.
You're taking a concentrate of GMOs.
Gee, that's scary.
Beyond scary.
Yeah.
Because you at least know with pharmaceuticals what you're dealing with, so you don't take them with impunity. Who's going to take thousands of milligrams of a pharmaceutical?
Right.
Who's going to take 10 grams? But
so
we have this
all
assumed,
vitamin C's have this GMO?
All, with the exception of some rare physicians' companies that make it from sago palm as the raw material.
Oh, my.
All. And so the exception is crude vitamin C as a food vitamin C in the capsule, in the powder, when it's from a food source.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are rare.
And you have to make sure that the food source isn't GMO'd.
You have to make sure the food source isn't GMO. And one easy way is it a wild plant. You see?
So how about if a person muscle tests?
Muscle test is good because you'll see with the synthetic vitamin C, if you do a real good muscle test, that the arms will drop when you compare it to the stuff that's made from fruit.
Okay.
And the same with B-complex. When we... I like this Purely B and the Purely Pack, which has everything in a pack, the C, the E, the D, the A, all that. I like that because I muscle test that, and I Synergy makes some good products, and there's another one called Ultimate something or another, Ultimate Superfood, so those are just give some different brands. But when I take those products and I put them against the chest and I check the deltoid, they score good.
Mm.
But when I take a B50, a B100, or a 1,000 milligram ascorbic acid, I never see it test good.
Do you know a company called Pharmanex?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
What do they make?
Vitamins. I just wonder whether they're...
Well, again, you can look at the label.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Purely Pack, for instance, or Purely B. Let's look at Purely B.
Okay.
It says pulverized rice bran, rice germ, torula yeast, and royal jelly.
Okay. So
that's it.
Simple, yeah.
Yeah. So if you look at, for example, Purely Pack, it says sunflower seed vitamin E, fatty salmon oil, right, torula yeast, rice bran, camu, rose hips, pumpkin seed, and it shows those foods on the label.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go to the Pharmanex or Pharma Basic or you know, New Chapter, whatever, and grab their multiple vitamin and see if it says chemical. Thiamine hydrochloride, pyridoxine mononitrate, right? Ascorbic acid,
what
cholecalciferol.
What about magnesium stearate? And
magnesium stearate, which is an irritant. You know, dicalcium phosphate, titanium dioxide, yellow dye number 5. What?
Wow.
You know, why? You wouldn't give it to the baby.
Yeah.
You wouldn't give it to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing taking it?
Just trying to be healthier. People are really
hard. Commercial fish oil. It's so heavily processed. I never use it. I had two or three patients back in the 1990s who got high cholesterol levels on fish oil because the rep told me how good it was, this and that. I gave them the fish oil, and I quit giving commercial fish oil. I switched to sardines back in the 90s for sardines and salmon.
Really? So
but
what
now,
about
yeah.
What about the you know, the toxicity of the fish these days?
Well, this was in the 90s. Now, of course, you've got all kinds of issues that are worse, like Fukushima, Chernobyl.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's
so it's a real minefield. But that said, what I do is I use the sardines from the Atlantic. And I don't like using a lot of fish. I'm more land-based now because of this Fukushima thing. But if it's small salmon or sardines or herring, it's probably better, certainly better than tuna. You know that all the tuna in the Pacific Ocean, all of it has radioactive cesium right now.
Yeah, I know.
You're not going to find a big tuna that's not radioactive.
So what about things like olive oil? Would that replace fish oil or
no.
good oil?
But there is one fish oil. There's probably two or three more coming out on the market. They're finally getting the message. I've been pounding on this. There is one called Polar Power. Polar Power is a steam extract from the head of wild sockeye salmon.
Oh, okay.
It does not have any mercury in it at all.
How come?
Apparently because it's not coming from the liver.
Oh.
The livers are going to have more contaminants in the skin. Just steaming out the head and the eyes is coming out with no mercury, no dioxin. I think a teeny, teeny, teeny trace of PCB or no PCB, which is huge. So I've been using that because not only does it have 33 omegas versus, you know, 10 or 15 with the typical fish oil, but because it's from the head, it's going to have more omegas, right? But it also has vitamin A and D in it. And so I'm using it as a whole food fish oil. Now, there's green pastures, there's fermented cod liver oil, but we've been having some issues with them, a potential microbial contamination from the fermentation process. And so with the steam, it's sterile. That's a good thing. That's pre-Fukushima. That company purchased a 15-year supply of when they heard about Fukushima, they bought all that they could. And so they're still operating on pre-Fukushima fish oil, which is, I mean, a fantastic move by them.
And what's the company? A very, very foresight, strong foresight.
Polar Power.
Power.
The maker of that?
Oh, well, we can probably find that. So tell me about the supplements in Walgreens and places like that.
That's a very important thing. I don't buy that stuff.
No,
I don't buy it. You know why I don't buy it? Because it's got too many additives.
Exactly. And it gives you the willies. I look at it and I go, uh-oh, I just feel wrong.
Energetically, it's probably wrong, but I'm not so concerned that if they said they have 50 milligrams of something in their tincture, I'm more concerned about the alcohol, the hexane. They won't tell you about the hexane on the label because they boil most of that off, but I don't want anything that was having gasolines. Would you, hey, if I told you that dandelions were good for you and you picked some and you ate some, but if I told you that this capsule, they soak the dandelions in gasoline and they drive that off with heat they grind it up. You're gonna take that capsule?
No, but not all the herbal capsules are like that, are they?
No, they're not all like that.
Okay.
But there are many.
So we have to be able to find a list of brands, don't we? We have to be able to find a list of reliable sources.
We do. What you have to do, you saw that in the press release, call a company.
Right.
Give them a call. Say, hey, will you stand behind your product? Hey, do you tell me that you never use any hexane stuff? Can you give me that in writing? Will you guarantee that your label claim is correct? Any company worth it, they have to do it. They're under GMP standards. They have to. I know a company, I'll give you a couple names. We'll start with North American Herb and Spice. They're the benchmark. Use them, look them up on their website, look at their supplement facts, use them as the basis for expanding out to other companies. Synergy is another one that makes wild vitamin C, so North American Herb and Spice, they make the Purely C, and then Synergy. And then Ultimate Superfoods is another. You can look at the package, it's just ground up superfoods. Now, that said, when you contact the company, any company that is strict is going to give you a guarantee that the product is what it says on the label.
Right, okay.
But you have to ask about hexane extraction because it's not going to be on the label. And you simply ask, do you use hexane or alcohol extracts herbs if you're a purist? And I'm a purist. I don't use them. So that just kind of gives you an idea on quality. Another way you can tell is by carefully reading the label. If the label has in it, you know, maltodextrin, then you want to know if it's GMO or not. Citric acid, is it GMO or not? Because those are soy lecithin, soy vitamin E, ascorbic acid,
Well, anything to do with soy, I avoid these days.
Yeah.
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 But it's changing all the time. It's getting worse, isn't it?
It's getting worse because they have an allowance for GMOs in soy and corn and still calling it organic. Still calling it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So,
well, what about, here's something called Herb Farm.
Herb Farm, they don't have a lot of excipients, but they do a lot of alcohol extracts.
Right.
So you'd have to ask them if they do any hexane.
Okay.
But theoretically, if you were an alcohol extract person, that would be good. I'm not. But if you look at some of the other things by Herb Farm and see if they just grind up herbs,
yeah.
Nature's Way does that sometimes. Christopher Herbals, they just grind the herb up and put it in a capsule. You can't beat that. You don't think it's potent, but it's a lot more potent than something that's soaking in alcohol and hexane.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
You know?
Wow, this is really interesting stuff, isn't it? So where are you going to take all this? You must be traveling. Oh, you have books.
I'm writing
a
book.
And you have a blog.
Well, I have a blog. I'm writing a book called Natural versus Synthetic Vitamins.
Okay.
And I'm in the middle of that, and I published a couple key articles on that on CassIngram.com.
Okay.
You'll see some videos on it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, on that website, I talk about lipoic acid. Lipoic acid people take, they think it's okay. But there were some dogs that they gave lipoic acid to and cats that dropped dead.
Oh, my gosh, really?
So I published on that on the website.
Huh.
And now you heard about that scandal of the fish oil overseas where they didn't meet the label claim. So this does happen. So you do have to select your companies wisely.
What about Jarrow? Well, Jarrow seems to have...
Jarrow is mostly chemical, though. They have some things like pomegranate syrup that are fine.
Okay.
But most of their vitamin supplements are USP chemical stuff.
So what you're saying is try to get them as close to the source, which is a fruit or a vegetable.
You have to. Forget it. You just do the superfoods, and you do companies that do food supplements, dietary supplements made from whole foods as a source of the vitamins. I'll give you the vitamin C one more time.
Okay.
Purely C, made from wild camu, handpicked by the villagers and dried in Peru. Acerola, that's not wild, that's farmed, but it's still, you know, non-GMO. And rose hips. The rose hips are wild. What? Not confusing. You think you're taking that natural vitamin C if it says ascorbic acid 500? You're not. Now, and then the other thing is the herbs. The herbs have to be either crushed up and ground into a capsule,
mm-hmm.
or they have to be extracted into like with steam or carbon dioxide. Those are the safe ways.
Okay.
So supercritical extraction, steam extraction, or emulsion in olive oil, vinegar, honey, that's what the ancients did. In the medieval times, in the Islamic and the Hindus, they just used honey, vinegar, and olive oil and some alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Olive oil itself is quite good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, what can I say? Hunt down the best companies. Dietary supplements can save your life. Here's another one. Wild chaga.
Wild
chaga is a natural growth on the birch tree.
Okay.
And that's for strength and stamina and physical prowess and power, and it also has a lot of anti-tumor properties.
What is it? How do you spell it?
Chaga.
Okay, chaga.
My two favorite natural medicines right now. See, if the listening public wanted to kind of get into herbal medicine,
okay.
Let's forget about the supplements. That's complex. You're just learning about quality there, but you know you want to take the best herbs that you can take to stay healthy.
Right.
My favorite of all, and the favorite in the Bible, by the way, I'm not the expert in Bible, I make sure in oregano, is the wild oregano.
Hmm.
Oil of wild oregano is mentioned in the scripture as the purging herb.
Hmm.
So if you, everybody that comes to me tells me that their favorite thing that I've turned them on to is the oil of wild oregano and the crude wild oregano in a capsule form, and that's your oil of oregano and your Oregamax.
Hmm.
If you take those daily, you think you're taking herbs? You think you're taking the right thing? If you take those, you won't get sick.
Hmm.
You won't get flu. You won't get colds. You won't get bronchial garbage. You won't get allergy. That's been my experience in, you know, treating people.
And also, and we have to end this. I hate to do that. I could spend hours listening to you. You're an amazing source of empowering information. But you have a blog, eh, that people could refer to?
I do. CassIngram.com. And so you can study the wild oregano and other things and the chaga. That'd be my number two thing, is to do the wild chaga. And by the way, I love chaga extracts that also have oregano or birch bark. What we found is the chaga is in the fungus family a little bit. It's a hard growth, and it seems to work best when it's combined with the bark and or the oil of oregano. So look for formulas that have bark and oil of oregano. But bottom line is, for your listeners, slowly study this issue of herbal medicine and make a study of natural versus synthetic vitamins.
Thank
that
you.
Will open up your eyes.
Wow, you've just changed my life.
Yeah.
And
you know, if I put you on, if I could get you some of these things, I have some stock, and send it to you, you will not comprehend the difference between what you're taking.
Wow.
I mean, you take that purely B and you take the purely C, and you're ready to launch out.
Wow.
I mean, and
I loved your story about Lyme disease, too. That was very powerful.
The Lyme disease, ladies and gentlemen, I put myself back on the planet, and I'm going to prove it with the photographs. I have pictures of all these swellings and lesions, and of course, the book coming out in a month, The Lyme Disease Cure. You can pre-order it through the website.
Wonderful. I'll probably do that. Well, this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much to Dr. Cass Ingram for, I think, just opening our eyes to the beginning, at least for me, of a search for a myriad of ways through this incredible confusion, all the scamming.
Remember,
right there.
It's all about quality. Get the highest quality and make sure you do. Don't be fooled by marketing pitches. Do some digging.
You betcha. And read all your labels. Thank you so much, Dr. Ingram.
You're welcome.